we left off last week, we were beginning to discuss the Shittas HaRambam, the famous Shittas HaRambam, that the principle of Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra itself is only Chumra Midrabanan. Min HaTorah, so all Sveika is really going to be Mutter. The question was, how do we understand that? In light of the fact that the Gemara seems to have a special Gzeres HaKosov, it was said as Kedushin, that Sufik Mamzer is Mutter. What's the Chiddush of Sufik Mamzer above and beyond the regular rule that Sveika is a Mutter? According to the Rashba, that in fact all Sveikas are also in the Torah, so that I understand. The Torah is Mechadish, and Sufik Mamzer is different. But according to the Rambam, that Sufik Chaz is Mutter, and Sufik Shabbos is Mutter, and Sufik Chir, everything's Mutter. So then why do you need a special Xeris HaKosov to teach me that Mamzer is also Mutter? So we gave last week the conventional wisdom in the Acharonim, that either the Chiddush of Sufik Mamzer is to teach me that even if there's a Rove that he's a Mamzer, it's still Mutter. Or even if there's a Chazocha that he's a Mamzer, it's still Mutter. Or even if it's a tie to the Sasra that he can marry a suffering mamzer that can marry mamzeres and a bas Yisrael at the same time. That's the chiddush of suffering mamzer. So at the end of the day, suffering mamzer is teaching me something. It's going above and beyond the regular rules in terms of hilchos sveikas. A similar question that the Rashba poses to the Rambam about the suffering mamzer issue. So the Ran in the end of the first parak of Masechus Kedushin, it's almost an identical question and begins to develop certain seemingly identical yisodos and some other yisodos, but a different gemara that also poses a big problem according to the Rambam. There is a gemara in the end of the first parak of Masechus Kedushin that speaks about the halachas of Orla, particularly as they relate to Chutz La'aretz. We know that Orla should l'chora only apply to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to Baris, it's an agricultural-based mitzvah. The Torah says, Kisavol Oretz and Tatem Kaleitz Mahachal, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you plant trees. It's interesting, if you look at that pasuk, so the Torah doesn't say you have to plant trees. The Torah says, Kisavol Oretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, when you plant fruit trees, Vachaltem is pure, you can eat the fruit, Vachaltem is lost, you're not allowed to eat for 3 years, etc. So remember when I was a kid, so every year on Tu B'Shvat, Kerek Chaim used to make these, make these big planting things, and we'd go to all the elementary schools and try to get kids to convince their parents to buy trees to plant their children. It's a wonderful thing, wall for planting trees in Eretz Yisrael. But I remember the big logo used to be, a big post used to be on school, Kisavol Arts with Tatem Kaleitz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to plant trees. So we're, gullible kids, I thought that was one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, to come to Eretz Yisrael and you have to plant trees. So that's not what it says in the Chumash. The Torah says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you plant trees, or else then you have to keep the halachas of Orlas. Okay, all four planting trees in Eretz Yisrael, but it's a little bit misleading to say that, to stop the pasuk right smack we want to stop. Anyway, get back to the story. So there's a din of Orla in Eretz Yisrael. That's clear, that's the pasuk of the Chumash. So comes the Mishnah of the Sechus Kedushin and says the din of Orla apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. And it's unclear why that should be so. It's L'chora Mitzat Lui Baretz. So it's Machlekes in the Gemara. Why is that so? So one day the Gemara says it's only Midrabanan. It's only Chum Midrabanan. That they instituted Orla in Chutz La'aretz, which again would be hard to understand, as we spoke about Chadash a couple of weeks ago. Why would they make this a Midrabanan of Orla all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere in Chutz La'aretz? So the other day in the Gemara is the day that is accepted in Halacha, that all the other Amorim say, that's where all the Rishon and Paschal in Halacha, that Orla is Halacha L'Moshe Messina in Chutz La'aretz, that it's really a Din Midaraisa, it was a special Halacha L'Moshe Messina, that Orla's Chutz La'aretz is going to be us. That's how we Paschal in Halacha. So there really is a Midaraisa involved in terms of Orla as it plays out in terms of Chutz La'aretz. So comes the Gemara and tells a story that in Braisa, which all indicate that Suffolk Orla's Chutz La'aretz is Mutter. If you have a Shiloh, whether something is Orla and Chutz La'aretz, that's the Gemara says you're allowed to be Mekel. The Gemara says, if you hold that Orla's Chutz La'aretz is only Midrabanan, it's a Chum and Midrabanan, then they understand why you're allowed to be Mekel. But if you hold that Orla's Chutz La'aretz is a Diraisa, it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, to what right do you have to be Mekel? We should treat it like any other Suffolk Diraisa, Luchumra. So the Gemara was almost stumped with this question. The Gemara says that one of the Amorim was thinking about this question, and then the Amorim came to the following realization, and the answer to this question is as follows, that built into this Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai was the fact that Safek is Mutter. There's no other way to explain this. Kach Nemra Halacha Vado Osar Sveika Mutter. That there was a two-part Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Kach Nem Salamayish Abeinu Rasinai, that all is Chutz La'aretz is Osar, but all is Chutz La'aretz is Safek is going to be a Mutter. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So basically, you see from this Gemara that there was a need for a special halacha of Moshe Sinai to be matir suffik arlus chutz la'aretz. So comes the Ran and the end of the first paragraph. Kedushim says, according to the Rambam, this Gemara is very difficult. According to the Rambam, that all stakers are mutter min haTorah. Suffik chaz is also mutter. Suffik chomz is also mutter. Suffik shabz is also mutter. So why do you need a halacha of Moshe Sinai to permit suffik arlus chutz la'aretz? It's a bishlam according to the Rashba. That the starting point in halacha is all sveikas are also in the Torah. So Orlus Chutz La'aretz is the exception to the rule. But according to the Rambam, that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah, what's the chiddush of suffik Orlus Chutz La'aretz? So the style of this question of the Ran in the end of the first paragraph of the Kedusha is really the same as the Rashba. The same as the Rashba was jumping against the Rambam. Why do you need a pasuk for suffik mamzer? Typically, that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. The Ran is asking the same question in the first paragraph of the Kedushin. Why do you need a halacha Moshe Messina to be matir suffik orla? Typically, that all sveikas are mutter. So the first answer that the Ran says seems to be reminiscent of what the Rashba said about suffik mamzer. Comes around and says that maybe the answer is as follows: that when it comes to the regular rules of sveikas, so we'll only matir sveikas according to the Rambam when it's a suffik hashochel, when it's a 50-50 suffik. But if there's a rove, if the odds are that it's probably orla, that would be problematic, even midaraisa according to the Rambam. That's the chiddush of suffik orlas chutz la'aretz. That even when there's a rove, it's still going to be mutter. How did the Ran know that that's takan adin? So he has the Gemara at the beginning of the sixth parak of Masechet Brachos has the following chiddush about suffik orlas chutz la'aretz. The Gemara says there was a machlekes atanoim about a certain question, whether something was considered to be a tree or not, whether it was a fruit or not, whether it's considered to be part of hilchos orla. The Gemara says it was a machlekes atanoim, and most of the Tanoim held that it would be a problem. Most of the Tanoim said that the following such and such species would constitute a fruit, wouldn't be a halachic vegetable, and this would be part of the fruit, and we can't just ignore it, and therefore it would be subject to orla. So the Gemara says it was a machlekes atanoim, and there was one Tana who disagreed. The Gemara says that in Chutz La'aretz we follow that one Tana. What in Chutz La'aretz we follow that one Tana? Because suffik orlas Chutz La'aretz is going to be mutter. The Gemara then goes further and says, does that mean we could follow a halacha, a tana that we don't pass like the gamrei? So the Gemara draws a distinction between sometimes in halacha you have a machlekes and the two shittas are still intact. Even the shita that we don't pass like is still around. We talked about this yesterday in the Sukkah Shir, right? In the Hadashia, that the Gemara says in the Yerim HaSefes Nida, that sometimes you have a machlekes atanoim, that the Nimnu V'gomru, that the Amaroi would decide it, the halacha is such and such. That shita is not acceptable to halacha. So the Gemara says in Nida that you can't rely on that shita even b'shas al-chak. You have the biggest shas al-chak in the world, doesn't that? It's wrong. It's not acceptable to halacha. That opinion has been rejected. So the Gemara says when you have a machlekes between Beisham and Beis Hillel, so you can't rely on Beisham and b'shas al-chak. It's not a suffix anymore. We have machlekes b'sham Beis Hillel. It's a Nimnu V'gomru. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. Beisham is not. It's not on the radar screen anymore. But you have other machlokes which were never nimnu v'gomru, that they were never decided 100% to follow one opinion. The rove was in one direction, so maybe we follow rove, but the other shita was never rejected. There was never a psak based against the other shita, so therefore b'shas al-chak you can rely on it. So that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos. If you have a case of suffik orla, if you have shal and suffik orla chutz la'aretz, since all sveikas and all chutz la'aretz are l'kula, so even if there's one tana that you don't really paskin like, as long as it was never outright rejected, totally off the charts, then you could fall back on that sheet in a case of suffik orla chutz la'aretz. It comes around and says, that's not the regular rules of sveikas. There's a rove. 99% of the tanaim held something as osur. One lone tana that held that's mutter. And the Gemara says, we can hang on to that tana. And in a case of suffik orlus chutz la'aretz, how can you do that? If the Rambam, if we're basing ourselves on the Rambam, that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah, you can't rely on this das yochid against the Rambam. That's not a suffik, that's a rove. So whenever you have a rove, it's a suffik. It's not considered to be a suffik anymore. So for the fact that you see that the Gemara is willing to be so lenient, we're so makil, we bend over backwards and we'll mock everything for suffik orlus chutz la'aretz, even cases that wouldn't meet the Rambam standards of sveikas, that's the chiddush of the halacha Moshe Messina. The chiddush is that everything's mutter, suffik orlus chutz la'aretz, even if it's 99% and it's still mutter. This is the same type of terrorism that the Acharonim said about suffik mamzer last week. Now, if you're working with the Rambam's guidelines, the parameters of all Sveikas being mutter, Sveikas being mutter means 50-50, Sufik or Shochel. Once you're out of the realm of a 50-50 Sufik, once there's a rove working against you, that's not the Sufik anymore. Then you need a Chiddush of Sufik Ramzah, then you need a Chiddush of Sufik or Alas Chutzlarts, then you need Chiddushim in Halacha. But the Rambam Shita at Sveikas of Mutter Beratayr is limited only to 50-50 Sufik. That's the first Malach of the Ram. Then the Ram elaborates upon this and he says, maybe there's an even greater Chiddush in Sufik or Alas Chutzlarts being Mutter. There's a tremendous Chiddush about Sufik or Alas Chutzlarts, which we rely on, Lamaisa. Gemara says that, say I walk into an orchard and there are trees that are growing. It's chutzlart and hefker, whatever, is the trees that are growing. And there's a chance that there may be all those chutzlarts here. It's possible. Am I mechuv to do my research? Am I mechuv to start asking? I start knocking on people's doors and saying, do you know, by the way, whether this is oil or not? So the Gemara says, no. That you're allowed to go, it doesn't matter. The Gemara says that it's such a chiddush that you don't even have to look, you don't even have to do any research. And for Kerat, the Gemara is even further chiddush. The Gemara says, let's say I know that something is oil or schutzlots. I'm standing there and I know that it's oil or schutzlots, and the other guy doesn't know. I'm not mechuv to tell him. Not only am I not mechuv to tell him, the Gemara says that even bigger chiddush, I'm allowed to give it to him. I'm allowed to hand him the fruit. I know for a fact this all is chutzlarts. So I'm not allowed to eat it. I can give it to him as long as he doesn't know. What he doesn't know is not going to hurt him. And all is chutzlarts. What kind of din is that? So Rabbi Chanan explains that all is chutzlarts means that you need your dias ha'isr in order to be asar. Kol zman that you don't know bivados that it's orla, it's mutter. It's so fundamentally different. It's radically different than all other areas of halacha. If I know that something is chaz and you don't know, I can't give you the chaz. That's called the fever. If I see something, I'm not sure if it's chaz or not, I got to try to do some research. I got to try to figure out. Maybe you know. Maybe you maybe no. If at the end of the day I can't figure it out, so then the Rambam says, I'm going to tell you you're allowed to eat it. But just stop to live your life recklessly and eat everything. Well, everything's kosher. Why don't I eat hashkacha for? I'm going to destroy. Maybe it's kosher. So that the Rambam would never say. But when it comes to all this chutzlah, it's kozman, there's no yudias ha'isser, it's going to be mutter.
So, I mean, isn't generally the school's actual law different?
Right.
That
this breaks all the rules, right? This is not only you're not mechuv to be mevarer, even if the other guy knows, he's not mechuv to tell you. Yedias ha'isser is a prerequisite for the isser of all his chutzlots. Says the Ram, that's the chiddush in halacha Moshe Sinai. That's all part of this halacha Moshe Sinai. That only if it's 100% certain that it's oila, therefore it's mutter. It's based on this halacha. This is how we live our lives all the time. You go into the farmer's market and you go buy yourself some fruit. How do you know they're not oila? Did anybody do any research? Did anybody see? Now, there are some trees today that do grow fruit within the first 3 years. They touch up the fruit chemically, whatever. They do things to the trees to make the trees grow fruit very, very quickly. So how do you know it's not orla? So when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you can't just walk to a fruit store there and start buying fruit. Forget about doing some ma'isus. There are potential dishes of orla. So you see on the big badat stickers, Noki Mechashash, Orlo, Shvias, even Shvias. That's the middle of the sprinter cycle. Okay, not give me chashash or a little shvias. Hope for shetru sabayis was kedin. You have to do some research. You got to find out that's not give me chashash or a little. In chutz laretz, lo shemana dov zemi yolo. Nobody ever looked. Nobody ever knew chumr in chutz laretz. You can't buy fruit anymore. You got to make sure that there's no oilless chutz laretz. It's not true. The gemara in the ferish is not true. That as long as you don't know that it's oilless chutz laretz, you're not mechuyev to be mevara. One time, had a pask in the shah, a few shahs over the years, all schutz lords. When somebody called me with some shah guy from California called me with a shah of all schutz lords, we had a shah of all schutz lords across the street. And remember? By Peckett, right? By Peckett. They had a fruit tree that they had gotten, and they were regrafted, a mice story, and they weren't eating the fruit, but they wanted to make the bracha brichas eilonos 1 year on that fruit tree. So some poskim have a shalik, can you make the bracha brichas eilonos on a fruit tree that if it's still orla? Because the nusach of the bracha is the hanos behem bnei adam. You thank him, the Rebbe, for giving us fruit that we can enjoy. You don't enjoy. The Torah says you can't enjoy that fruit. I'll eat that fruit. That's the machlekes in the poskim. Does that bracha refer to this particular fruit that I have the potential to be nana from this fruit? Or does it mean the hanos bnei adam in general? All fruit I am intended to be nana from. Get a whole shit about that, about the pecan fruit tree a couple of years ago. So every once in a while I get popped up a shal of Olas Chutz Laretz. So the one time I had my own personal shal of Olas Chutz Laretz is that we had, when we lived in Paramus, we had a non-Jewish neighbor, and they used to plant a lot. So they used to give us tomatoes and cucumbers, whatever stuff. There's no oil on tomatoes, no oil on cucumbers, that's fine. But one time they had these bushes and these berries, and they were telling us, "Yeah, we got these berries, and we just planted these new bushes, and we got these berries are growing." So, So they said to me, "Yeah, we have some of the berries from the old bush and some for the new bush." So as soon as they said that, I said, "Great, that's fantastic. We're allowed to eat it." The Gemara says, "Beferish, that as long as you don't know for a fact that it's all, you don't know which bush is coming from. So whenever you have any suffix whatsoever, you're not even mechutav to ask them, are these berries under the hashkacha? Are these berries are mutter or not?" Said, as long as you don't know. When you don't know, it won't hurt you. And Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't be able to do it. So it would be in a deraisa. It would be a suffix deraisa. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's all sveikas and mutter. So again, this mahalach that the Ran is giving B'das HaRambam, that all of Chutz La'aretz is different, that it breaks the regular rules of sveikas, this is very similar to the mahalach that the Rashba gave, that the Chorim gave B'das HaRambam against the attack of the Rashba last week. So these are, in a certain sense, I guess what we can call the tangential questions against the Rambam. These are, you know, we dug up an area of halacha that says that we have a special chiddush suffix is mutter. Mom's there, or chutzah, etc. So you gotta, fan for the Rambam, you gotta give up a case, keep the hokum by a skin on, the posk is such and such. Now we move to what we call really the most basic, fundamental question against the Rambam, which is that the Rambam is not just against the Gemara in Kedushin, the Rambam is not just against the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, the beginning of Kedushin, Rambam L'chayr is against the Pasuk in Chumash. How can the Rambam tell us a story that all Sveikas and Mutter ben Torah, have we never heard of the Parash of Hashem Toloi? Many of us say as we come in the morning, we're about to say it, some of us already said it, Zivchei Shavetzimu V'Hashamos Eilem HaShamos, the Rambam Hashem Toloi. What is it Hashem Toloi? It's the Pasuk in Parashas VaYikra. But if a person violates something which he would otherwise be chayef karis for, if he violates it b'shoyeg, he has to bring a korban chatas. What if he's not sure that he violates? They say he may have eaten chametz of Pesach. It's unclear. He didn't mean to do anything wrong. B'shoyeg, but now he realizes gevalt, that piece of food that I ate. There may have been chametz of Pesach. There may not have been chametz of Pesach. It's unclear. He's not sure. I said, as I say every year in Pesach, there's always one product shaila. There's always one person who buys something, which is breadcrumbs, which is something, and they cook it. So this year the shaila didn't come on Pesach, the shaila came on Tzoy Pesach. Someone came frantic to call me the other day that they realized that one of the boxes of something that they had coated their schnitzel and their kugel and everything with wasn't too bad. It was just chametz gomor. They forgot that it was a hadar product. So most of the hadar products that are on the shelves are kosher Pesach. This particular one happened to have not. It said not for Passover use, but of course in tiny letters. And it was like a cornflake kind of a thing. Okay, cornflakes is not the end of the world, so the kid is, except there was malt flavoring in it, which is barley, which is chametz gomor. So they had basically eaten chametz with Pesach, as well, and Pesach is over already, so they can't rectify that. Maybe bring a korban chatas. But the immediate shaila was that they had used it on all of their, preparing all of their entire kitchen, so basically it become chametz stick. So the pots and silverware is not the end of the world, it's not the kasher, but their entire set of Pesach china had been used throughout the week with these hot, blazing hot, malt-flavored kugels and schnitzels. So the discussion was, now what? So every year there's always something. So they didn't want to make this year go by without. I made it a whole week without any of the shadows of the Mitzvah Pesach show. Anyway, so a person now, he doesn't even remember, he's not sure that he realizes Gevalt, he finds a half-open box of a breadcrumbs in his Pesach. He's not sure that I used that before Pesach, that I used it on Pesach, that I used it after. I'm not sure Gevalt, he has a suffix whether he violated an Issur Karis. If he knows for a fact that he violated Karis, B'shayeg, then he's got to bring a Karban Chattas. If he's not sure, then he brings a Karban Asham Toloi to be determined later. If, in fact, he realizes later that he did violate the Karis B'shayeg, then he has to go ahead and bring a Chattas. Asham Toloi holds you on, keeps you in check until you figure out what's going on. So come the Rishonim asking the Rambam, what do you have to bring a korban Hashem Toli for? Hashem Toli means I bring a korban for a suffek aveira. Suffek is a karis that I did. And the Rambam is right that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. Then what do you have to bring a korban for? If you would have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not sure. I have a piece of suffek chametz here. What should I do with it? Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, eat it. Someday, give it to me. I'll eat it. He said, all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. So if all sveikas are mutter lechatchila min haTorah, what do you bring a korban for? A korban is to be mechaber for something that you did that was wrong. A bishlam according to the Rashba, what you did was terrible. You violated the principle of sveikah derais el chumra. That's a 50% chance you did in yisakares. So therefore, you have to be a korban hashem tali. But according to the Rambam, whenever it's a 50% chance that you violated something, that's 100% chance he didn't violate it. It's mutter. So if the shayla was mutter lechatchila, my shabbat would have said it's mutter lechatchila, and atar it's mutter, would he bring a korban for nisa drabban, and you don't bring korban as for isum drabban. So according to the Rambam, forget about kashas from safek olas chutzla, forget about kashas from safek mamzer, what do you do with the poskin parshas by yikra? Two trips, a whole parsha about Hashem Toloi. What is there Hashem Toloi for? Typically, that's mutter. So the answer to this question depends upon a girsa within the Rambam himself. So if you take a look at the Rambam, Hilchos Avos HaTumos, where the Rambam formulates clearly his principle about all sveikas being mutter, there is a girsa floating around in the Rambam that may or may not be correct, depending on how you when you read the brackets or not. So there was one girsa in the Rambam, one ksavyat in the Rambam, that had the following condition. That when do we say that all... One or two.
Well,
that's the second turn. We're going to get that turn.
Okay.
So comes one Gerson in the Rambam and says as follows. Now, when do you say that all Sveikas are Mutter min HaTorah? That's by Yisurei Lavim. Things that you have a Sofik Chazir, a Sofik Shatner, a Sofik Melach HaYontif, things like that. But if it's a Sofik Kores, if it's a Sofik Chelev, a Sofik Chil Shabbos, a Sofik Eish Zish, a Sofik Chomes, etc. Anything which is a Sofik is a Kores, says the Rambam, according to Agirsa, that even I will concede that all Sveikas are Asa Bin HaTorah. That's one Girsa in the Rambam. And according to Agirsa in the Rambam, then the question is get off the ground. And obviously, the Rambam is addressing this issue. The Rambam has, in effect, asked the question on himself, Moshem Toloi, and has, in effect, answered the question, Moshem Toloi, that the Rambam says, I never said it. I only said it by non-Isurei Kores. It would be a gewaltig answer. It would be a wonderful answer. How do we understand conceptually why that should be so exactly? I mean, we see the necessity to give such an answer, but can we understand it conceptually? Why is it that a Sufik Chazer is Mutter Min HaTorah and a Sufik Chomer Tzepes is also Min HaTorah? So there are some who suggest that maybe it's based on a very basic quasi-halachic/philosophical understanding as to what the nature of Yisurim is all about. So we know there's a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Nedarim, where the Gemara introduces to us the terms Gavra and Chavtza. I remember when I was in 11th grade, so the Rebbe was teaching us about Gavras and Chavtzas. Gavra meaning that it's also for the person to do it. Chavtza means that the object itself is also. So the Rebbe was trying to explain this, razzle-dazzle concept. I think we're learning Pesachim at the time, and it relates to Pesach, whatever it is. Yisurei Gavra, Yisurei Chavtza. So one of the Talmidim raised his hand and said, Rebbe, I thought that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was the one who made up this idea of Gavras and Chavtzas. So Rebbe explained to him, Reb Chaim didn't exactly make it up. The Gemara has it, Befeirush in Maseches Nedarim with Aveis. Reb Chaim may have used it very often. Reb Chaim popularized the concept. But to say that Reb Chaim made it up is absurd. Plus, the Gemara says it in black and white. The context that the Gemara says it in the beginning of Maseches Nedarim is discussing the difference between a neder and a shvuah. A person could prohibit himself from eating bread one of two ways. Eat whatever, any meat, any other neder that he wants to take. But he can verbalize it in one of two ways. Either he could formulate the issa by saying that he is a person, he will not eat any meat. Or he could say that all meat will be asa to him. What's the difference? What's all the difference in the world? One is a neder, one's a shvuah. If he swears that he won't eat the meat, that's called a shvuah. If he says that the meat should be like hektah, should be also to him, that's considered to be a neder. The Gemara says one is the gavra prohibiting himself, and one is the chavtza becoming also. My nafkamina, it sounds like it's just semantics. So the Gemara says there are many nafkaminas. There are all sugyas of Maseches Nedarim. The first 20 vlad of Maseches Nedarim talk about all the differences between the darim and shvuahs, about there are real nafkaminas that emanate from this difference, whether it's in a segav or in a sechet. So the context of the Gemara, Gavras and Chavtzas, that Talmud was right, is only in a very, very limited scope. The Gemara only talks about it explicitly, about the difference between Hilchos Nedarim and Hilchos Shavuos. So come the Rishonim, and Ritva, and others in Maseches Nedarim, and begin to extrapolate, what about other Yisurim in the Torah? What about the Chazir? Is Chazir in a segav or is Chazir in a sechetza? It's pshat that the chazir is intrinsically also. There's something intrinsically also. The chazir is the yisur. When you say, oh, the chazir, it's a nice little pig, a nice little slice of ham. What's wrong with it? It's you as a person are also. You are not allowed to eat this chazir. Again, my nafkamina, you can't eat the chazir, whether it's gavra chavtza. The nafkamina is the dina. The nafkamina is what if a person takes a neder, is a neder chal, a neder satayr, is a shvur chal. A lot of nafkamina is la loch and the rishonim. Whether isurim deraisa are fundamentally suri gavra, whether primarily suri chavtza. So there are some Acharanim who suggest that maybe there are differences within Isura. Maybe not all Isura are the same. Maybe Isurei Kores are in fact Isurei Chavtza, whereas Isurei Lavim are maybe only Isurei Gavra. And that would explain away a possible phenomenon. Again, a halachic, quasi, hashkafic difference between the two. We know that if a person violates an issa kares, even b'shege, he has to bring a korban. First day, chametz pesach wasn't his fault. He didn't know. He thought it said kosher pesach. What? Well, nice. It was a shege. He really didn't mean it. But after b'shege, he has to bring a korban. Mashen kein, if you violate an issa lav, you don't have to bring a korban. It wasn't a good thing that you did, but there's no korban. Why is it that the Torah requires an extra level of kapara for a chet b'shege in the row of issurei kares? So perhaps one can understand that if issurei kares are issurei chefza, that means the effect of what you ate happened. A person, eats poison by mistake. So he's getting sick, comes to the emergency room, and they say, Gavalt, they gotta get the poison, they gotta pump the stomach. So he says, what do you mean you have to pump my stomach? It was a shaking, I didn't mean to eat the poison. Oh, you're right, go home. Sugar. So whether you meant to eat it, you didn't mean to eat it, lamaise, the poison's there. So the effect is going to take it's going to take effect whether you plan to do it, that act or not. So by Isurei Kares, if they're really Isurei Chetza, that means that there are spiritual characteristics of the food that you ate that are problematic. So you got to get that out of you. You got to be Mechaper. So Tshuva and a Korban is mechanisms of Kapara. They're the antidote to the poison. You can't just say, well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't mean to eat Chametz Pesach. I know you didn't mean to. I know you wouldn't have bought the mall flavoring breadcrumbs. But it's true. You meant to eat the but Lamaisa, you ate Chametz Pesach. So that's a problem. So you got to get rid of that Chametz of Pesach. The way to get rid of the Chametz of Pesach is through the process of Tshuva and Kapara to bring a Korban. But maybe that idea doesn't exist in the realm of Yisrael Lavim to the extent that it exists in the realm of Yisrael Karis. So maybe come a group of Rachmanim and say that's why conceptually Sveikas are much more chomer in the realm of Yisrael Karis than the realm of Yisrael Lavim. When we're dealing with this, with a Sofik Issa Chefza, we're dealing with something which is spiritually unhealthy, spiritually poisoned. So imagine, so I got a bottle sitting on the table, and a little stranger color to it. I'm not sure. It's got a red color to it. I'm not sure. Is it, I don't know, what's red? Transmission fluid? No, it's not red. Okay, strawberry color. I'm not sure. Either it's Kool-Aid, I don't know, wine punch, I don't know, Kool-Aid, whatever they drink now. Either it's a wine punch or it's transmission fluid. I'm not sure. It's a 50-50 chance. Well, it's only a suffix, so I'll take it. Okay, Meshugana. I said, it's going to kill you if you take it. There's something wrong with it. It's poison. You can't have something poison. It has to be lechumra. It can't be something poison lekula. So if something is an issakares, and issakares is going to carry with it detrimental effects on your neshama, what do you mean you're going to be mekel misafik? What kind of joke is that? I can be mekel misafik. But it's a lab. It's only chazer. What's a little chazer between friends? It's, if you know that it's chazer, the Torah said, don't eat chazer. You're not allowed to eat chazer. Don't be murdered by Shem and don't rebel against Rav Moshe, eat chazer. So I turned to Rav Shalom. I would never think of eating chazer, but I tell you the truth, I'm not even sure this is chazer. So I don't mean anything bad. I'm just I'm hungry. If I know it's chazer, okay, is it a cigar? I'm not allowed to violate the Dvar Hashem. But I'm not violating the Dvar Hashem. My stomach's not chazer. 50-50 chance it's not chazer. I'm going to risk it. So maybe we can understand, based on Gavra Chavtza, maybe that would be the rationale why we can distinguish between Isur Lam and Isur Karas. Whether the rationale is right or not, it doesn't matter. There is such a gears in the Rambam. The Rambam does have such a possibility that maybe the Rambam holds that the difference between Isur Karas and Isur Lavim. And the only time that the Rambam would say his chiddush that Sveikas Amutta Ben HaTorah is only by Lavim, not by Isur Karas. So if that's true, that would solve the Ashim Tali dilemma. But there are many who reject that gears in the Rambam. Many point out from other Lashonis and Rambam, it doesn't seem to be correct, that gears in the Rambam. So what is the answer? If you're not willing to accept that questionable girsa, what is the perhaps the more conventional answer? But that's the Rambam. That's what Rav Chanan was referring to. It's based on the Gemara in Maseches Krisus, where the Gemara has a complicated sugya within Hilchos Hashem Toloi. The Gemara raises the question, when exactly is a person obligated to bring an Hashem Toloi? So it's unclear from the Chumash. All the Chumash says it's the case of a Suffolk. We don't know. That he's not sure whether he violated an Aveir or not. He's Mesupah. It's a 50-50 chance whether he did the Aveir. So the Gemara says, conceptually, you can have a case of a Suffolk, is a Kares, really two very, very different ways conceptually. One is what's called Chaticha Achas, and one is what's called Beis Chatichas. The Gemara gives the case of Chelev. Chelev is always the most, the model case of an Issa Kares, but it could be anything. It could be a Chometz Pesach, it could be Nicer, it could be Pigal, it could be anything. But we'll give the case of Chelev, that's the case in the Gemara. The Gemara says, one case is follows. A person walks into his house, and he sees there's a piece of fat sitting on the table. And he looks at it. He's not a butcher. He can't tell the difference. So maybe it's chaylev, which is an issa deraisa. It's from the, you know, from the kidneys and the intestines, whatever it's called chaylev. Or maybe it's from another part of the animal that's called shuma and that's called permissible fat. So he's not sure. There's a 50-50 chance what it is. That's one possible case. And he goes there b'shagei, whatever it is, goes there and eats that piece of fat. That's one type of a suffix kares. Another kind of suffix kares is, he walks into this house, and he sees there are two pieces of fat at the table, and he knows for a fact that one of them is chaylev, and one of them is shuman. He's looking at them, smelling them, holds it up to the light. He can't tell which is which. That's a different type of a case. In the second case, he knows for a fact that there's some chaylev here on the table. That's what's called beis chatichas. Rightfully so. This is two pieces. The first case is one case. So one is chatichas achas, one is beis chatichas. So there's a machlekes amaroyim in the Gemara in Masechet Krisos. Which case are you chayev Hashem Tali for? Which scenario is the Torah addressing? So one day the Gemara says, both scenarios. No matter what it was, my nefkamina. It's the same statistic chance whether you violated kares. The guy in the first case eats the one piece. There was a 50-50 chance whether it's shuman or chaylev. So it's a 50-50 chance whether he did it as a kares b'shagei. In the second case, he knows for a fact there are two pieces. He ate one of the pieces. So there's a 50-50 chance that he ate the bad piece. So in the world of statistics, it's the same thing. One case a 50% chance. The other case a 50% chance. So according to one day in the Gemara, both of those cases qualify as a chiv of Hashem Tal. If it was done b'shagei, then he totally forgot. He knows what's going on, and he ate the one piece, or he ate one of the two pieces. He has to be an Hashem Tolu in both of those scenarios. And the other day, the Gemara says, no, it's not true. That the first case doesn't carry with it the din of Hashem Tolu. There's no chiv of Hashem Tolu in the first case. You only have to be an Hashem Tolu in the second case. Why? What's the difference? So the Gemara gives a few different reasons to why conceptually there's a difference. So one of the reasons, which is the most popular reason, is very simple. In the first case, it's lo ikva isura. In the first case, we don't even know if there's any isur here. There may not be any treifas. He may be a perfectly kosher piece of meat. We don't really know. There's a 50-50 chance. We're not sure. We don't remember. Maybe there's a piece of meat here. But we don't know for a fact there's any treifas here. That's conceptually, fundamentally, a different type of a suffix. In the second case, it's what's called ikva isura. Whenever it's ikva isura means you know there's treifas here. You know there's chaylev sitting on this table. You just happen not to know which piece is chaylev. Again, if you ask the mathematicians, it's the same suffix. This is 50% and that's 50%. But halachically, conceptually, it's different. In one case, you don't even know there's this on the table to start with. In the second case, you know there's this, you just can't identify where the Yisur is. So that's the second day in the Gemara, and that's where we paskin. That's the Ram paskin, so we paskin that Hashem Tali is not across the board. Hashem Tali is not does not apply in both cases. Hashem Tali is limited only to the second case, not to the first case. Why is that? Why should that be so that Ikvei Surah is different? So come a group of Acharonim and explain to us the Rambam. The answer is as follows. Now, when did the Rambam say that Sveik is a Mutter Min HaTorah? That's when you have just a suffix in the middle of nowhere. I walk in the street and I see there's a piece of a roll on the floor. I can't tell. Is it a Pesach roll? Is it a Chometz roll? I have no idea. Maybe it is Chometz. Maybe it's Matz. I have no clue. I walk into my house. I find a piece of fat on the table. Maybe it's Chel. Maybe it's Shul. I have a foggiest idea what it is. So comes the Rambam and says, you have no clue whether it's awesome, whether it's Mutter. Yeah, enjoy it. Minatari can eat it. Mitrabani can. Minatari can eat it. Sveik is a roll Mutter Minatari. But medvar mamurim, if the Rambam would say such a chiddush that sveik is a mutter min haTorah, that's when you have no clue. But if you have a clue, you know you have a problem. You're just not sure where exactly, where precisely the problem is. No, not a chance. The Rambam wouldn't permit that. It's statistically the same. Mathematically it's the same. We're not learning math now. We're learning hilchos sveikus, sheish shmeitzah chabura. So according to the Rambam, whenever you have an ikva isura is halachically worse than lo ikva isura, and the Rambam never would be matter sveikus under those circumstances. So that's the answer to the sheish the Rambam by Hashem Tolui. Hashem Tolui is not a steer to the Rambam. If you would have held the other day in the Gemara, it would have been a problem. But nobody holds that way. We paskin, the Rambam himself paskins, that Hashem Tolui is very, very limited. It's only limited to Ikvei Surah. So Ikvei Surah, Takas Fekas, or also Minatara. So when all the dust settles, we have defended the Shittas HaRambam. We started with a difficult Shittas HaRambam. The Rambam says that all Sveikas are Mutter, everything's Mutter, 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 Minatara. So the Rishon said, what do you mean everything's Mutter, Minatara? We have cases which are clearly contradicting that. We have Suffolk Mamzer, we dealt with the Suffolk Mamzer problem. We have Suffolk Olas Chutzlaretz, we dealt with the Suffolk Olas Chutzlaretz. We had the fundamental problem of Hashem Tolui. So we have two very, very different approaches with Das HaRambam, how to solve the dilemma of Hashem Tolui. So we go the route of Kares versus Lavim, which one Giras in the Rambam went, but we reject that Giras and say, no, the correct answer is Ikva Yisura versus Lo Ikva Yisura. If that is the case, that Ikva Yisura makes matters worse according to the Rambam, that's going to become, hopefully, much, very, very helpful for us as we proceed down the Sugyas of Sveikas. We'll just jump for a moment to something that hopefully we'll talk about much more Biarichas, but when we get there, remember that we planted the seeds here. There is a Gemara at the end of the first Pech of Maseches Ksubas that speaks about a principle of Kavua. Those who remember learning Yerodea, I think Gary, we spent much time in the Sugya of Kavua, so in Kofiyot, okay? It's one of the most difficult Sugyas in Yerodea, called Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza Dami. What in the world is Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza Dami? It basically means as follows. There is a din, say a person is walking in the street, and you find a piece of meat, just on the floor, in the middle of Cedar Lane. So you want to know, can I eat this piece of meat or not? Minat Torah. So the answer is, yeah, you can eat the meat. You know why? Because you count up all the fleshic stores, all the meat stores in Cedar Lane, and see, are most of them selling kosher meat? Most of them selling treif meat? So I think the answer is pretty clear. Rattle off from Noah's Ark to Mabat, I don't know, to what else is there? I don't know. Imaz, okay. So everything's all the studs kosher. There's one store, there's still one tray for restaurant in Cedar Lane. That's right. Called the Parish, Mubba Parish. Minatori can eat the meat. The Ravana, Pusser, Salman. Maybe other problems. But Minatori, you're allowed to eat that meat because you follow Rov. Comes the Gemara and says, when is that true that you're allowed to eat the meat? That's if you found the meat on the floor. But what if you didn't find the meat on the floor? What if you walked into a store, and now you came out of the store, and you're standing at Cedar Lane with the meat in your hand, and you can't remember. You know, I was so busy, I was on the phone, as I was walking up and down, I don't remember which store I walked into. Did I walk into Noah's Ark? Did I walk into Mabana? Did I walk into some tray for a restaurant? I can't remember which store I went into. Says the Gemara, the latest of Suffolk, the Suffolk is not on the floor, the Suffolk is not outside on the street, the Suffolk is now in the stores, because you have a Suffolk, which store you personally went into. That's a whole different ballgame. That's what's called kavua. Kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. Since the stores are in their place, the stores haven't been perish, the stores haven't left. In the first case, the meat left the stores. So the latest asafik, the moment of doubt, was created when the meat was already outside of the stores. It was perish from the stores. But in the second case, the moment of doubt was the entering into the store. Kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. Any store that you went into is stationary. It's in its place. It's not moving. Anything that's in its place is 50-50 chance. The odds are, statistically, there's no difference. If you ask the mathematicians, they say they can't understand for the life of them this din of kavua. In the case of the poresh, case of the piresh, it's a 90% chance it's okay. In the case of which store you walked into, it's a 90% chance which one you went into. You're right, mathematics will not help us in this kavua, but the halacha differentiates. And there's a din midirais, and the Gemara quotes it as a pasuk for this. There's a din midirais, a kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. Whenever you have a suffix which involves kavua, where the isser has been kavua oimed, the isser has not been piresh, so that's a serious problem. Those who remember the Shetel crisis from a couple of years ago, there are a lot of issues of kavua there, because even though maybe Rover the hair may have been mutter, but we were going to the hair wasn't coming to us. So when the Shetel sells ladies are going to India, so there are 10 stores there, 9 of them may be kosher, one of them is trafe, one of them is Isuri Hanah, so that may be a shot of kavua. So that was one of the hot topics that we were discussing at the time. I think were you learning your day at the time of that crisis? I don't remember anymore. I think we were just finished. It was the end of the year. I think we were fuffling about this. Anyway, so that's the rule. Kol kavua is kemechza mechza dami. And therefore, it's also awesome in a Torah to eat that meat. So come the Achronim and ask the Rambam, what do you mean it's also awesome in a Torah to eat the meat? Well, Smeikas Amut, according to the Rambam. What do you mean when there's a suffix, which store you went into, so there's a 50-50 chance you went into the trefa store? Even though statistically it's 90% chance you went to the kosher, well, no, halachically it's 50-50. What do you mean it's halachically 50-50? It's mutter anyway. Yeah, how do you make sense of that statement? Kol kavua kemechza mechza dami, and therefore it's also min ha-Torah. According to the Rambam, if it's really mechza mechza, it's mutter min ha-Torah. If there are 10 stores, 5 kosher, 5 trade, it's still mutter min ha-Torah, according to the Rambam. The answer is not so simple. Because every case of kavua, by definition, is ikvei sura. I mean, that's not the case of the Rambam. The Rambam's case, that's fake samutar, is you find a piece of meat on the floor, you have no, there are no stores, you don't know where anything came from. I'm walking in the desert, I find a piece of meat. There's no kavua, there's nothing. So there's no base chatich. That's called spekes samutar. But whenever the latest asafik involves kavua, I know there's chaza floating around. I know there's nevelas and treifas floating around. I just can't identify which store it came from. So if it was Piresh, they called the Parish Merubah Parish. But if it wasn't Parish, if you walked into the store, then you don't have the smurf called the Parish, and you have to fall back in Kavua, and such a suffer will be also in the Torah. So again, after Shem, as we get further down the line of Sfeikas, hopefully we'll come back to this discussion about Kavua a little bit more. But at least we should begin to understand that this Rambam, about Sfeikas being Mutter, you have to qualify the Rambam. You can't just say, according to the Rambam, everything's Mutter. All Sfeikas, it's a freebie, it's a green light, also. It can't be. It's impossible there should be a green light in all Sfeikas. There has to be certain points where we say that Sfeikas become problematic, even according to the Rambam. Otherwise, you're going to run into serious problems of Hashem Tolei, and you're going to run into serious problems in terms of Kavua as well. Next week, we'll continue with this discussion about Sfeikas.